Aren't you glad for the peace of God this morning? Amen. It made me think. We're preaching out of Luke chapter 5 this morning, but made me think of a different time on a ship. We're going to look at an account in Peter's life this morning about Peter being out on a ship, but as they were singing, I was thinking of a different time when Peter was on a ship, and the storm came, and waves were crashing, and the wind was blowing, and Jesus stepped out on the bow of the ship, and he said, "Peace, be still." Aren't you glad this morning when the world is in chaos and when life is just the wind's blowing, Jesus can give peace.
Amen.
Nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
The Bible says a peace that passeth all understanding. Thank God for peace. Amen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen.
That's right.
Thankful for Jesus this morning. Luke chapter number 5, I'm going to get right into the message this morning. I've been preaching on Peter. The last couple weeks on Sunday nights, if you not come on Sunday nights, I'd encourage you to come. I'd love for you to get in on the study. We're looking at Peter's life, and won't be doing that tonight. Pastor Brandon will be preaching, but on Sunday nights, we're looking at the life of Peter, trying to learn some lessons from Peter's life. And as I was praying about this morning, I felt like the message that was next on those messages would fit right in this morning. So that's where the Lord led me to, and I want to preach this morning on Peter's challenge. We looked a couple weeks ago at Peter's conversion. We looked at how Peter got saved in John chapter number 1. I believe that that's where Peter got saved. There's others that believe differently. But we looked at Peter's conversion. And then last Sunday night, we looked at Peter's call. We talked about how that Jesus came to the seashore in Matthew chapter number 4 and Mark chapter number 1. And Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John. And I mentioned last week, and I'll mention it again at the end of the message today, there's many that believe that Luke chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11, is Luke's account of that call. And you know, honestly, if I'm honest before you this morning, when I first started studying Peter's life, I thought it was two different accounts, but I'm probably starting to lean more towards it being the same account. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Right, it could be the same. It could be different. It could be, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I don't want you to think that I'm questioning God's word. It could be. It's because of chronological order that some people struggle with whether this is the same account or not. And Luke may have told it a little bit out of the same order as Matthew and Mark did, or it could be that Luke is telling of another time where Peter came back to. I mean, where Jesus came back to Peter, and had to almost call him again. I doubt that's happened to any of us this morning. I doubt the Lord's ever had to tell you something more than once. And so whether this is the same account or it's a separate account, it doesn't change the fact of what we're going to look at this morning. And so I want to look at it this morning from Luke chapter number 5. I want to look at Peter's challenge. As I look at this challenge this morning and as I stand here before you today, I'm convinced in my heart that the Lord is still challenging his people. I would say that this morning, as Sunday school was taught, if you were listening, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, challenged you. I know I was challenged. I said in Sunday school this morning, Brother Allen taught a message about loving our enemies. Talk about a challenge. It's a challenge. See, God's Word will challenge you. And as the Word of God is preached this morning, my desire, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, my desire this morning is to challenge you. But it's not that I want to challenge you. I want the Lord to use me to challenge you. See, the Lord wants to challenge us today. And the Lord challenged Peter, and I want us to look at that challenge and see some things that we can learn from it in Luke chapter number 5. I want us to pick up our reading in verse number 3 for sake of time. The Bible says this. It says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land." You see, the first thing I want to look at in this challenge is the request. You know, if you look up that word prayed, I looked it up in a Strong's Concordance. That word prayed literally means to request or to ask. Jesus prayed Simon that he would push out a little bit from the shore. I want you to get a picture this morning of this story. I see Jesus walking up on the seashore of Galilee that morning. I say morning, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was midday. The Bible doesn't make it clear at what time it was. It was obviously after a long night of fishing. We'll see that in verse number 5. Actually, let's look at it now. Verse number 5, I believe it is. The Bible says, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So obviously, Peter and Andrew and James and John have been fishing all night long. And so it's probably either early in the morning or I'd say sometime maybe mid-morning. It's early enough that Jesus had a group of people following him. And the Bible tells us that many times Jesus, as his custom was, he went out early in the morning to spend some time with God. So I would say that early that morning, Jesus was somewhere in his secret place with God the Father. And then at some time after that, in the morning time, maybe mid-morning, Jesus had began to walk along the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says that many were following him. That's one of the reasons some people don't believe this is the same account as Mark and Matthew, because it's so early in Jesus' ministry, but yet it says many followed him. But either way, regardless, Jesus had some people following him. I don't know what time of day it was. I think maybe it was morning, but Jesus is walking up on the Sea of Galilee. Peter and the others are cleaning their nets from a long night of fishing. No doubt they're probably a little discouraged, right? They didn't catch anything. I don't know about you, but when I go fishing, I like to catch something. Some people like to just get away from the kids, get away from the job, get away from, I ain't going to say the wife. Who in the world would want to get away from their wife? But, you know, they just want to get away, right, and fish. They don't care if they catch anything. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I want to catch something when I go fishing. And especially if I was doing it for a career. If you're not catching anything in your career, you probably need to change careers, right? But anyway, everybody's going to have a bad night of fishing. Everybody's going to have a bad day at work, right? That's what Peter had here. He had a bad day at work. Or you'd say a bad night at work. Maybe a little discouraged. Maybe a little aggravated. No doubt, probably a little tired. Toiled. That means he worked all night long. And so here he is, and Jesus comes up, and the Bible says that Jesus made a request. He prayed him. He asked him something. And I want us to look at what he asked him. Verse number 4, he asked him, verse number 3, it says he entered one of the ships, which is Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Jesus said, Peter, Simon, can I use your boat? I want to do a little preaching. I want to do a little teaching here. Jesus said, hey, I want to have church on the seashore. He said, Peter, can I use your boat? You say, well, that doesn't sound like a pretty big deal. It probably actually was an honor in some ways. But if we're honest this morning, it might have been a little bit of an inconvenience. You see, that request was a request of inconvenience. Can I tell you that God will ask us sometimes to do some things that are inconvenient? That's my first point this morning. I'm talking about a challenge, right? You know, God will challenge us to do some things that may be a little bit inconvenient. Peter's been working all night. Peter's tired. Maybe he's a little discouraged. Maybe he's a little aggravated after a long night of fishing. But yet the Lord comes to him and he says, Peter, I want to use your boat. Sometimes God will challenge us to do things that are not the most convenient. Could it be this morning, I hope you'll take this in the right way. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I hope you take this the right way. I want you to ask yourself this. I'm not your judge. You don't have to answer to me. But I wonder if the reason that some were not at Sunday school this morning was it was inconvenient. Tired. Peter was tired. Maybe you worked last night. I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit of an argument at the house. You're a little aggravated, right? Knowing Peter, I would say after a night of fishing without catching any fish and knowing Peter the way I do, there was probably a little bit of arguing going on, you know. Andrew, get the... I got Peter just bullying Andrew all the time, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it a little bit, but when I read about Peter, and I'm getting off, I'm going to get back on track here, but I picture Peter as that brother that's always bossing people around. Andrew, it's your fault we didn't catch that. I told you we shouldn't have fished that hole last night. Right? Maybe there was an argument this morning. I don't know. And it just wasn't convenient to get to Sunday school. I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes the Lord will challenge. You know, maybe tonight when we meet back in church tonight, that's what Jesus having church. He wants to teach some people. Can I tell you, tonight we're going to meet back here at about 6 o'clock and we're going to have church and there's going to be some teaching, there's going to be some preaching. And I wonder tonight if the reason that some will not be here is not because they don't want to be. It's not because they don't want to know what God has to say, but it's because it's a little inconvenient. It's playoff time. The playoffs. Right? It's inconvenient. Maybe Wednesday night church. I don't know. You work all day. How many times, I wonder, have folks come home from work after a long day of work? They're a little aggravated. They're a little agitated. They're a little bit, maybe had a bad day at work. Maybe they lost a little bit of money. Maybe they work for themselves and the day didn't go the way they planned and they're actually upside down that day. And then it comes time, 7 o'clock, and we got church on Wednesday night. And I wonder if they stay home because it's inconvenient. God will challenge us sometimes to do some things that are inconvenient. I believe that that's what we see here. You know, most of the time, the things that are inconvenient to us are really just little things. Look at it in verse number three. The Bible says that he asked Peter, he prayed him that he would thrust out a little. You know, sometimes that's the things we struggle with. The little things. You say, and you know, we call them little, but they're not little. Can I tell you, reading your Bible is not a little thing. It's not a little thing, but sometimes we're not careful. We'll kind of view that as a little thing. And you know what? That's the thing that we'll struggle with. It's not convenient for me to get up a little bit earlier so that I can read my Bible before I leave for work. It's not convenient for me to set the alarm a little bit earlier tomorrow morning so that I can get up and spend some time in prayer. It's not convenient for me to maybe serve in a certain area of the church because if I do that, I'm going to have to give up my Saturday morning to visit the bus route or to go out knocking doors, or I'm going to have to give up the Friday evening. To be involved in that ministry. I'm going to have to give up something, right? And most of the time, if we're honest, the things that we struggle with in our Christian life are the little things. You know, Jesus said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Jesus also said that he that is faithful in the little things. He said, that's the one that's going to get the great things. You want God to do some great things in your life this morning? I believe that most of us do. I doubt there's many sitting here this morning that don't want to see God do some great things in their life. Well, you know how you get God to do some great things in your life? Or you know how you get God to use you to do some great things in your life? You be faithful with the little things. And that's what Jesus is challenging Peter. I'm convinced this morning that Jesus is challenging Peter with a little thing. He's saying, Peter, how are you going to respond when I challenge you in a little area, a little thing, something that's inconvenient? Have you passed that test this morning? Have you gotten beyond just the inconvenience of Christianity? See, Jesus, he's challenging Peter in an area of inconvenience. Not only that, I believe Jesus is challenging Peter about something else. You know, I want to say this. I believe Peter passed the first test. Look at it. Verse number three. The Bible says he entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him. I like how Jesus just entered into the ship. Simon, can I use your ship? While he's standing on it, right? What are you going to say? No, Lord, get off the ship, right? He's in the ship. He says, Simon. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he talked to people about the ship. You know what that tells me? Peter did it. Bible says Jesus sat down and talked. So what that tells me is, though Peter was tired, though he had told, though he was aggravated, you know what Peter did? And I want you to get this. I'm going to move quickly this morning, but I really believe this is what Peter did because I'm picturing it. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I'm just trying to picture it in my mind this morning. I've done a little bit of fishing, not a lot, not as much as some of you. But you know, I'm picturing in this day, if Peter's going to thrust his ship out from the shore a little bit, he's going to have to get in the water. I think Peter probably got down in the water. I'm picturing Peter maybe with a rope and maybe Andrew with the other rope and Peter saying, all right, Andrew, come on, man. I know, we had a long night. Just, it's the Lord. It's master. That's what he said, master. It's the master. He said, let's just do it. They let Jesus out a little bit and then they tie him off so that the boat doesn't drift away while Jesus is trying to teach. I mean, I think I'm okay here. So Peter's gotten down into the water. right? He's in the shallow water. I want you to remember that, because I believe that, that's where some people are this morning, in the shallow water. And so Jesus says, Peter, okay, you followed the first, you responded right in the first test. Let's see about the second. So then he gives him another request. And I believe this one is not a request of inconvenience, but I believe this one is a request of increase. Look at verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, he said, okay, Peter, he said, let's see how you're going to do on this one. You've done pretty good on the first one. You got past that test of inconvenience. Now I want to give you a request. I want to challenge you of an increase. He said, Peter, would you launch out into the deep and let down your nets? It's almost as if Jesus is saying, Peter, how much do you trust me? I know you didn't catch anything last night. I know you toiled all night. I know that you're a fisherman and I'm a carpenter. But do you trust me? Jesus is challenging Peter's faith. Could it be this morning that as we meet together, the Lord is trying to challenge somebody's faith? You see, the first request was a request of inconvenience. It was a little thing. I'm not being mean this morning, but can I tell you, being faithful to the house of God is a little thing. It really is. Most of the reasons that people are not is because it's not convenient. Be one thing if we were living in a country where we were persecuted for our faith and it really cost us something to get to the house of God. But in our day, it doesn't cost us much. I doubt anybody walked here this morning. We drove in heated vehicles to the house of God this morning. We're sitting on padded chairs this morning. We've got heat this morning. It didn't cost us much to get to church. If anything, it was just a little inconvenience. But now you're here. You passed that test. And I believe that the Lord is saying, hey, I got better things for you. I want you to get, right now, you know we are, we're in the shallow water. We're at church. We're in the water. But we're still about knee deep. And Jesus is saying to somebody this morning, hey, I want to increase your faith this morning. I want you to launch out. I want you to get out into the deep water. And I want you to let down your net. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. You've just gotten into this thing called Christianity, and you're kind of just getting your feet wet, and you're in the shallow water of Christianity this morning. And God has been speaking to your heart through the preaching of the Word of God, or through your Bible reading, or in your prayer closet. God has been speaking to you, and you're about knee deep in Christianity. Can I challenge you this morning, as Jesus challenged Peter that morning? Hey, go out into the deep water. Come on in. The water's fine. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, Peter, I got something for you. I want to increase your faith this morning. Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to do something that makes no sense to you. Can I tell you, God will challenge us to do some things that do not make sense to us? That's what he's telling Peter. Peter's a fisherman. Peter fished all night. Can I tell you, as far as I can tell, I'm not a fisherman and I don't live in Israel, but as far as I can tell from my reading, from my studies, that the best time to fish was at night. Must have been catfishing, right? I don't know. But they say that was the best time for fishing. And so Jesus is telling Peter, hey, Peter, I want you to go fishing. And Peter's probably thinking in the back of his mind, Lord, carpenters. I'm a fisherman. But he's saying, Peter, you going to trust me? Maybe the Lord's saying that to you this morning. You going to trust me? You going to give? I don't even like talking about giving. We don't talk about giving much around here. But you know what? The Bible teaches giving. Faith promise. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about giving to missions. And it doesn't make sense to you. You say, I don't think I can give. I don't think I can afford to give. The bills are tight. Brother David, have you heard about inflation? Gas prices are going up. The economy's going down. And you may say, it doesn't make sense for me to give to missions. It doesn't make sense to me for me to start tithing. It doesn't make sense for me to do these things. Can I tell you, hey, God will challenge us to do some things that don't make sense to us. Because he wants to increase our faith. You say, it doesn't make sense. God might challenge someone this morning to start giving. God might challenge someone this morning to get out of some relationship. God may challenge somebody, you know what, this relationship is not good for me. And I'm not just talking about boy and girl relationships. Well, that's the only kind of relationships I'm going to promote around here, right? As far as those types of relationships, right? But I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about a friendship, right? Maybe you're hanging around some people that you know you shouldn't be hanging around. Oh, yeah, you should love them. You should pray for them. You should try to get them to church. But you know deep in your soul that the God of heaven has challenged you and said, hey, you got to quit hanging around that bunch. You better quit hanging around with that crowd. You better break off that relationship. You better stop watching that stuff. You better get rid of that music. I'm just feeling it. Like God will speak to us about things like that. You better stop involving yourself in that activity. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. That's where faith comes in. I'm not telling you who you should stop talking to. I'm not telling you who you should stop hanging around with. I'm not telling you what you should stop watching. I'm not telling you what you should stop listening to. No, I'm saying if the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you and tells you that you need to do something, the best thing you can do is do it, even if it doesn't make sense. Maybe this morning God's calling somebody or challenging somebody to quit their job. You say, would God do that? I mean, sure, he told Peter to. He told Peter to. I guess if he tell Peter to, he'll tell you to. Now, I think you should try to find another one. But that same God also said, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. But if your job is keeping you out of church, or if your job is not good for your spiritual well-being, if you're working in an atmosphere, in a place where it's not good for you to grow as a Christian, or maybe just God says, you know what, I've got something better for you. Every now and then, God will just say, hey, son, I've got something. Hey, daughter, I've got something better for you. And maybe he's challenged somebody. I said, I don't know. I'm just throwing some things out there. Maybe this morning there's somebody that God's been challenging you about that. And you're scared and you're concerned and it doesn't make sense. And you're thinking, what am I going to do? Well, if God told you to do it, hey, you mark it down. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. And so maybe it's a job. I don't know. Maybe it's inviting a certain person to church. You know, maybe God has challenged you to invite a family member. That's some of the hardest people to invite to church. Sometimes them family members, you'd rather go knock on a stranger's door than call your brother up, invite him to church. But if God's told you to do it, you ought to do it. Maybe it's your boss. You say, my boss, I might lose my job if I ask him to come to church. You might. He might come to church. If God told you to do it, you ought to do it. Maybe it's your doctor. Say, well, I don't go to a doctor. Well, maybe it's whoever you go to. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. I don't know, but if God has told you to do something, if he's challenged you in an area of increase, I'm just saying this morning, hey, we ought to do it. We ought to do it. The Lord will challenge us in areas of increase. I could go on. You know, let me look at the next point. Not only was he trying to increase Peter's faith, but I believe this, he was wanting to increase Peter's fish. Let me say this. Can I tell you, if God challenges you to do something, just please, if you don't hear much else that I say this morning, please get this point down this morning. If God is challenging you to do something, if God challenges me to do something, if God does it, if it's God, if the Holy Spirit of God or the Word of God challenges us to do something, can I tell you, it's for your good.
Right. Right.
It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But I promise you, upon the authority of the Word of God, God has your best interest in mind. He said, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. Peter, I want you to let down your nets. I know, Peter, it's going to take some faith for you to believe me. But Peter, guess what? I've got some fish out there, and I am going to bless you if you will believe me. See, the Lord is trying to increase Peter's faith, but he's also trying to increase his fish. He said, Peter, I want you to get out of the shallow water and get in the deep. That's the request. Number two, I want us to see this, the response. The response, look at what Peter does in verse number 5. The Bible says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. No doubt you can kind of hear a little bit of, doubt. That's what I hear when I read that. Peter's doubting a little bit. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. I like this. Nevertheless, You know, that'd be a good motto for us to live by. Nevertheless, at thy word, Peter said, Lord, I'm doubting you a little bit. You ever been there? Lord ever told you to do something and you know the Lord told you to do it. You know God told you to do it, but yet in your heart you're thinking, I don't know. Lord, and Lord will come back to you. He's Lord is gracious and good, and God's just wonderful. He'll come back to us, tell us again and again and again. And we just have doubt in our heart. But at some point you said, you know what? Nevertheless, at thy word. Lord, you said do it, I'm going to do it. That's what Peter does. So we see the response. The first thing I want to say about this response, it was very informative. You know, the way that we respond to the Lord's challenges are very informative. The way we respond to the challenges of God say a lot about us. How do you respond to preaching of the Word of God? How do you respond to the Sunday school lessons that are taught? How do you respond to your Bible reading? How do you respond when someone challenges you from the Word of God or the Holy Spirit of God challenges you about some area of your life? How do I respond? Can I tell you, our response tells a lot about us. Peter said, nevertheless, we learned something about Peter. Peter had his ways, but I'm going to tell you right now, Peter understood something. I've got to trust the Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word. You know, how we respond to the word of God or the preaching of the word of God says a lot about us. The Bible says this in Proverbs. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible has a lot to say about a fool and how he hears. You say, James chapter number 1, pastor's been preaching, in verse number 22, I think, says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, we can deceive ourselves. That's foolish. But how we respond to the Word of God says something about us. It's informative, right? The Bible, Proverbs also says this, says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man. James chapter number 1, I quoted that verse, but I want to read it. It says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Then it says this, for if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This that man that looks into the Bible. This that man that comes to church. This that man that hears the word of God, but he doesn't really look into the mirror of the word. He glances at it and he goes on about his business. He says that man is not in a good place. But look at the next verse says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right. See, it's easy. In James chapter number 2, I won't have you turn there for sake of time, but you ought to go home and read it. You know, it's easy to say we believe something. See, it's easy this morning to say, I believe God. It's easy this morning to say, I trust the Word of God. I'm following the Holy Spirit of God. It's easy to say that. But you know what James said in James chapter number 2? He said, hey, you show me your works, and I'll show you your faith. He said, a man may say he has faith. He said, let me see his works, and I'll show you his faith. He says, faith without works is dead. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. He's talking about following God. He's saying, hey, you can talk about faith all day long. You can say you believe God all day long. But if you don't respond when he speaks to you, then really you may not believe him. That's what he's saying, right, Pastor? He's saying, if you I'll show you how much faith you have. I'll show you how much you believe God. What are you doing with what you hear? That's what James is saying in chapter 2. That's what Jesus is saying to Peter. All right, Peter, you passed the test of inconvenience. How about the test of increase? You trust me? Peter responds. The Bible says he launches out. Look at it. Nevertheless, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, Peter responded, and that response is very informative. The way you respond to God this morning tells a lot about you. It's very informative. Number two, not only that, and I'm almost done, so stick with me. Can I tell you the way we respond to the word of God is very influential? Look at this. I want you to see this. Look at verse number five at the end of it. It says, at thy word, look at, what's that next word? At thy word, what? I. At thy word, I will let down the net. But look at verse number 6. And when, what's the next word? You with me? What's the next word? They. Peter said, I will let down the net. Verse 7 says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Verse number 9 says, for he was astonished in all they that were with him. You see, the way we respond to the Word of God this morning, not only is it informative, does it say something about us, but can I tell you, the way that we respond to God is influential. You see, what you do with what God says is going to have an effect on others. How many people are not in church this morning because dad wouldn't respond to the Word of God? God challenged dad to get in church. God challenged dad to get serious about God. God challenged dad to get out of the shallow water and get into the deep water. And dad wouldn't do it. And because of that this morning, his children and his family and his wife, maybe even further beyond that, his neighbors, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. Hey, our response to God influences others. No doubt. We saw it this morning. Pastor talking about his children over at the piano. Can I tell you, pastor's response to God's challenges in his life influenced their response. See, the Bible says no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. We're epistles known and read of all men. And how we respond to the Word of God is going to influence others. People are watching to see what we're going to do with the Word of God. And I know I said dad, but I believe that's where the buck stops here. And can I tell you this morning, dad, how you respond to the preaching of the Word of God is going to have an effect on your family. Now, obviously, I understand everybody has to answer to God for themselves. So young people, if you're here this morning, don't you blame dad when God speaks to you, because you still have an accountability to respond to God. And your decisions may influence others. How many are here this morning because a child decided to respond to God and their parents are now sitting in church? I think of Pastor BJ's parents. Pastor BJ, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor BJ got on a bus when he was about 5 years old, and he responded by going to church and getting on that bus and was faithful to church. And can I tell you, hey, this morning, mom and dad are sitting in church. Why? Because his response to the Word of God influenced them. So it's not always dad. Sometimes it's the child. There might be some young person. There's other people this morning. Can I tell you, I want to say this. Brother Calvin, I'm glad God brought this to my mind. We were talking about it the other day. We were getting ready to dismiss the other day. And I am so thankful. And I'm not doing this by no means to embarrass anybody. But I just want folks to know what's going on here. Guess what? We didn't run our buses this morning, okay, because of the ice and everything. But can I tell you this? We got a couple parents in the building this morning that are here because their children rode the bus. David and Mary sitting up here on the front row this morning. Can I tell you, their children responded and they came to church and they were faithful and they kept coming to church. And this morning, mom and dad sitting on the front row. Can I tell you, I come into Sunday school this morning, and Robert, you don't know how good it done my heart to see you and Amber here this morning in Sunday school in the pastor's new class. And can I tell you why Robert and Amber are here today, or in church this morning? Obviously, it's because the Holy Spirit of God got them here. But can I tell you, their kids been riding the bus for, I don't know, probably 2-3 years now. And here they sit on a Sunday morning in the house of God. Why? Because their children responded correctly to God. Amen. And it influences others. Amen. And there's others. Last Sunday morning, we had the family, Samson and them's mom and dad, been coming every Sunday morning. Why? Samson and Michael started riding the church bus, and their parents saw something, I guess, in their life and said, hey, I think we'll go to church. Amen. It happens all the time. Everybody here, there's many, I could probably ask you this morning, how many of you are here this morning because somebody influenced you, and that's why you're in the house of God this morning? If we were honest, about all of us are here because somebody else's decisions influenced us. So it does matter how we respond. His response was influential. I think about David. You know, I'll give you a couple real quick. About Daniel. You know, the Bible says Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel purposed in his heart. Right. Daniel made a choice. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And you know what? I think it's verse 7. You know what verse 10 says? It says, prove thy servants. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Daniel, if you're going to take the challenge, we'll take it too. I think about David there in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. The giant Goliath was standing out there and he's challenging the armies of Israel. And the Bible says that the armies of Israel were frightened. They were afraid. I mean, they were shaking in their boots and Saul was scared and everybody was scared. But then David stepped on the scene and David come in there and he said, guys, what's going on here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? He said, is there not a cause? And David went down and the Bible says that David slew that giant. You know what the next verse says after that? It says David slew the giant and the army of Israel arose. David responded and the army arose. I think about Joshua in Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua stood before all of Israel. I believe it's in verse number 15. I don't know, I might be wrong, 12. But chapter 24, Joshua stood up and he said, hey, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? The children of Israel said, we will too. Amen. Joshua, we will too. Can I tell you, there might be somebody in your life this morning, they're waiting for you to respond to God. They're waiting for you to get out of the shallow water and get on out in the deep water and go with God and let down your nets. And there might be somebody in your life that's saying, hey, I'll come with you. I'll get in the boat. I'll go out there. I'll let down the net. I'll see what God can do.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you this morning, hey, we need to get out of the shallow water and get out in the deep. That's what Jesus is challenging Peter. Peter, hey, get out of the shallow. Launch out into the deep. It's informative how we respond. It's influential, whether good or bad. And then last, the results. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, the Bible says this, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. I read that verse this morning, and I thought, man, that's a good place to be. I got out of my desk and I got on my face. I said, Lord, that's where I want to be. Peter fell down at Jesus' knees. And look at what he said. Saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You say, did Peter want Jesus to leave? I don't think so. I'll tell you what I think happened. I think the results of Peter's response were internal. Peter realized who he was. Peter said, man, I'm a sinful man. Maybe Peter's going back to that verse where I said there was some doubt. Maybe Peter, in his heart, he knew, I doubted you, Lord. Have you ever been there? If you've been serving God any length of time, you've been there. You doubted God about something, and God challenged you, and finally, you did what God said do, and then you fell on your face and said, God, I'm a sinful man. I should have listened to you before. You see, Peter saw himself for who he was, but even greater than that, he saw Jesus for who he was. What did he call him in verse number 5? Somebody tell me. What did he call Jesus in verse 5?
Master.
That means rabbi. It means teacher. It means overseer. But in verse number 8, he says, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm convinced this morning that there's many people in the church that they're in the shallow water and they're wondering, why doesn't God speak to me? Why don't I ever sense the working of God in my life? In my heart, I just don't feel like God ever stirs my heart. I hear the preacher, I hear my Sunday school teacher, I hear others talk about God stirring their heart, and God doesn't ever speak to my heart. Maybe it's because you're in the shallow water and God's saying, hey, come on out into the deep. Step out. Do what I told you to do. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. God's saying, hey, you know God's saying to some people, hey, you take the first step into the water and I'll take the next. You take another step, I'll take another. God's saying, hey, I'm out here in the water. Peter, you want to come to me? Then come on, I will see that later on. Peter said, can I step out and come to you, Lord? The Lord said, Peter, come on if you want to come. Can I tell you that's what he's saying today? Launch out. It was internal. Peter saw himself, but he also saw the Lord. He went from calling him master to calling him Lord. Peter realized who God was. You know, when we listen to the Lord and when we launch out, the results are always internal. God will do a work in our heart. You want God to really work in your heart today? I'll tell you what to do. Obey him. Obey him. Accept the challenge and step out by faith. You may not understand. You may not have all the answers, but you just want to follow and you just launch out. I promise you, he'll do something in your heart.
Right.
He'll do something internal.
Amen.
He done something internal. And then last, I said this last week. I almost made this one incredible, The results, were they internal, but they were also incredible. But I had to use the same point as the end of last week's message, because I do believe this may be the same account. And if you were here last Sunday night, I said that his obedience, or his call, it was impactful. Look at verse number 9, and I'll be done. I won't re-preach that message. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Can I tell you, when God requests something of us, when God challenges us, and when we respond properly to God, the results are always internal, and the results are always incredible. They're always impactful. God wants to do something today. I believe this event changed Peter's life. Can I tell you, today, God could change somebody's life. If I didn't believe that, Pastor, I'd quit preaching. Amen. I mean that. Amen. If I ever get to the place that I don't believe, you know, I come to church sometimes, and I preach to our young people, and I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes the way they look at me, I'm thinking, what am I doing? But if I ever get to the place where I believe that next service, that next message, that next lesson, that next conference, that next camp, that next song, that next sermon, something could change their life forever, I want to quit preaching. But I'm convinced this morning, I'm saying it from the bottom of my heart, from the very inward of my soul, I believe with all of my heart this morning, if somebody in the house of God this morning would decide, I don't care about inconvenience, I'm going to step out, I'm going to launch out, I'm getting out of the shallow water, and I'm getting into the deep, I'm telling you, God will do something incredible in your life. God will do something that will impact your life in a major way. If we would just respond, maybe today God's speaking to you about launching out. Launching out into service. God wants you to serve him in some avenue. I don't know. You ought to respond. Maybe God's challenging you to launch out and get serious. I mean it. I think there's some wallowing around here. And I'm not being mean. I've been there. I may go back there. I pray I'm not there. We can deceive ourselves. And I'm being as honest with you as I can be. I told the Lord this week as I was preparing this message, God, if I'm in the shallow water, show me. Show me, God. I'll do my best to get out in the deep water. But I'm afraid there's somebody here this morning, maybe more than one somebody. You're in the shallow water. And you know what you say? Was this same account or the last account? I don't know, but maybe that was a different account in Matthew. Maybe it was a different account in Mark, Brother Brandon. And maybe Jesus came back last Sunday night. Maybe God challenged you. And you didn't respond. And so God said, you know what? I want to go back. I want to challenge you again. How are you going to respond this time? Maybe God's challenging somebody about getting serious. Quit playing church. This thing's not a game. There's souls at stake. I remind myself of that every time I come to preach the word of God. God, there's souls at stake. There's eternity at stake. There's families at stake. There's marriages at stake. There's young people's lives that are at stake. And I'm telling you from everything within me, I don't want to do anything to harm that. I want to encourage. I want to help. I want to challenge our young people and our adults and our church to go forward for God. Maybe somebody's thinking about God's challenged you to launch out and get serious. Hey, respond. The results will be incredible, and they'll be influential. Last, maybe there's somebody here this morning, God's challenging you to launch out and get saved. That takes launching out. It's not easy to let down your net, let down your guard. Maybe this morning during the invitation, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor here in a minute. Maybe during the invitation, God's going to say to somebody in their heart, hey, now, launch out. I've been calling this the shallow. We'll start calling this the shallow, D. Do you mind if I sit here for a minute? Thank you. Maybe the Lord's saying, all right, you're sitting in the shallow water. Right there at that altar is the deep water. Launch out. Launch out. You're not saved? There's the deep water. Jesus says, come on in. Brethren, I'm going to close right here. But for those of you that are saved this morning and you're serving God and you're serious about the Lord, can I get a witness? Is the water fine?
Amen.
Is the water fine?
Amen.
You won't regret it. Come on in. I've regretted a lot of things in my life, AJ, but I can promise you one thing I've never regretted. Going with Jesus.
Amen.
I have regretted a lot of things. I got a lot of regrets in my life. But I promise you this, I ain't never regretted any time I walked down that altar right there and I launched that into the deep and I said, God, if you say it, I'll do it.
Amen.
I want to challenge you this morning. Launch out, Pastor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist, if you would.